praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs are based on the ministry of Witness Lee and his 21-year crowning work, The Life Study of the Bible, which focuses on the enjoyment of Christ as the divine life as revealed in the Bible. We hope that through these studies, you'll be brought into a deeper enjoyment of the Scriptures and of our dear and precious Lord Jesus. You can contact us by sending email to radio@lsm.org or reach us toll-free, 888-LIFE-STUDY. Now, let's join today's program. The New Testament is full of divine truth. By reading and studying these truths, we enter into the divine revelation, what God is occupied with, what His purpose is, and what He's desiring to accomplish. But what is lacking in the New Testament are illustrations or pictures. These are provided to us through the great stories of the Old Testament. For example, the New Testament teaches us that God is sovereign. That means He is over all and above all and in all. Yet it takes an Old Testament story, such as the story of the young boy David, chosen and designated to be king over Israel, yet placed in the most difficult and trying situations, for us to see and realize just how sovereign our wonderful God really is. Bob Danker has joined us for our fellowship today from the book of 1 Samuel. We continue to look at David in quite a pattern before us, isn't there, Bob?
That's right, Chris. David is a marvelous pattern. His life is a great illustration in which we can see the application of many of the principles in the New Testament.
Let's talk for a moment for those who maybe haven't had the opportunity to follow with us each day as we've been developing this story of David and his reaction, his relationship with King Saul. On the one hand, he was this young boy in his teens, 15, 16 years old, when the Lord sends the prophet Samuel to his household, and all the eight brothers, or seven of the eight brothers, are lined up, and Samuel realizes from the Lord, from Jehovah, that the right one is not yet among them. And so he inquires of David's father, do you have any other sons? And he tells him of course, the youngest, who's just, you know, a small boy out tending the flock. Certainly, it couldn't be him. But in fact, we know in God's sovereignty, it was David. Now, Bob, relate a little bit of the background here and the circumstance that has now developed between David and King Saul.
Well, Chris, under God's sovereignty, David was brought into a special relationship with King Saul. Although he had been anointed to replace Saul as king, under God's sovereignty, he was brought into intimate relationship with Saul. In fact, he was before Saul day after day. Mm-hmm. He played music for Saul to comfort him. He was within sight, even within arm's reach of Saul. And of course, Saul was very jealous of David. The more God accomplished through David, the more Saul felt threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And he determined to kill David. And of course, this became known to David and to Jonathan, Saul's son, and to Michal, Saul's daughter, who became David's wife.
Right.
Although Saul, on the negative side, was doing his best to put David to death, Saul's son and daughter, on the positive side, were helping David to escape from Saul, not to fight against Saul, but simply to flee away from the circumstance that would have resulted in his death.
We saw that as David is under the life threat of King Saul, and of course the persecution is unrighteous. It's all based on suspicions by Saul. There was no threat from David. David was fully honoring him as the king, and yet, as you said, jealousy had arisen in Saul's heart and all the other evil things that eventually consumed King Saul. And even when presented with an opportunity to take Saul's life to protect himself, David chooses not to, doesn't he?
That is a remarkable thing.
Yeah.
If someone is pursuing you to take your life, you would fight back. If you had the chance, you would put him to death just to get rid of the threat and to exercise some amount of justice upon him. But David, instead, was a God-fearing man, and he honored God and what God had done in anointing Saul to be the king. David did not rise up in rebellion against God's anointed one. This is a tremendous example in and of itself for all of us. We have to be those who fear God and who respect what God has done and the order in the body of Christ. For instance, if we apply this to our relationships in the church, there's an order in the body which we need to respect. We should not rebel against God's ordained order.
Two big points we want to see today. Number one, of course, we continue to see how the Lord was using all of these things for David's perfection, for his preparation. And secondly, we'll see David's reaction to the Lord's arrangement of this difficult environment. Good program, I think, before us. Let's join Witness Lee, Bob.
I love this book because it is full of stories. Stories of the real lessons in life. In this section, the main striking things are two. Number one, God's sovereignty. God is everything. And he's above everything, he's behind everything, he's in everything. Amen. On the one hand, to test, to put David on trial, there was the need of a soul. God prepared Saul. On the one hand, God prepared a good David for his kingdom. On the other hand, God needs a soul to perfect David. But David, God, the top perfection. His father didn't care for him much, and the elder brothers didn't care for him much. And the lions came, and the bear came to try him and to help him to learn how to sling the stone, right? But that was just a little part. The greatest part for David's perfection was Saul. Saul was a very good perfecter. God prepared David, God prepared Saul. God also prepared a son of Saul and a daughter of Saul to help David. Who prepared all these four persons? David, Saul, Jonathan, Michael. Who prepared? God. God is everything. You have to see this.
Bob, he makes the point here that David needed such a Saul for his perfection. I think this is a thought that doesn't come easily to us, to look at someone like a Saul in our life. Maybe we have a tyrannical boss at our job, or maybe we're married to a tyrant. We don't look at that kind of a person as someone that we need typically, do we?
That's right, we don't. We look at that one as an enemy, as a vexation in our life. But actually, we need to realize that God's aim is not to damage us, it's to perfect us. David was very good. He had a heart for God.
Right.
And that was very positive. Yet God knew that this young man, before he could assume the kingship over God's people, which really was the kingship in God's own kingdom, he knew that this young man needed a lot of perfecting. Mm. So he arranged everything, his environment, even the people that he was with day after day, became God's sovereign arrangement to perfect this young king-to-be, right? In a very real sense, it is the same with all of us. We are God's children. We may love the Lord and have a good heart toward the Lord, but we need a lot of perfecting, and God knows much better than we do how to do this perfecting work. So he takes the time to arrange the environment of every single one of his children, including the positive things and the seemingly negative things that cause us to suffer and become a trial to us. All these things are arranged by our loving, purposeful God in order to perfect us so that we can grow in his life and become mature, and eventually we will be prepared to reign in the kingdom of God as David reigned.
Bob, to see this point, we really need to understand this is the context in which God's sovereignty is revealed. First of all, our need for preparation, but these things happen because God is sovereign, not because he's weak or they happen by accident. Certainly, if he could arrange Michael and Jonathan, these two offspring of Saul, to act as David's, in a sense, his rescuers, he's sovereign over the whole situation, even to have allowed King Saul to become such a one that would threaten David. So to see our perfection, we really have to see that our circumstances are the way they are because God is sovereign, don't
Absolutely.
We?
Especially in regard to those things that seem to be somewhat negative.
Yeah.
Saul was a very negative element in David's life, yet this was arranged by God for David's perfecting.
We mentioned in the program early on, I think it's now becoming more clear, that this sequence or this section is very helpful as an illustration of the New Testament teachings that we're talking about. God's sovereignty and our perfection, which really falls under the category of our need to stay where the Lord Jesus put us, and that is on the cross, really involved in his death. Death to our natural man. And that's what David, in a very real sense, was experiencing, wasn't it?
Absolutely. This circumstance that God put David in really led David to be terminated, to be, in the New Testament sense, to be crucified.
In the coming section, we'll see Witness Lee develop this point a bit as to how it applies in our Christian experience today. And I think we need to stress that there is no ability within us to bear the cross. That ability comes from the resurrection life of Christ himself. And a couple of New Testament verses that will be referred to in this portion, I thought I'd read. Philippians 3:10, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Really one of the great verses in the New Testament regarding God's economy, isn't it?
Tremendous.
And in John chapter 11, the gospel, verse 25, the Lord Jesus makes a marvelous statement that we should never lose sight of. And he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes into me, even if he should die, shall live. But we love that phrase when the Lord Jesus says, I am the resurrection.
Amen.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
In this section, the second striking thing is that David persecuted, suffering so much, but he never fought. He never reacted. He never responded. He was all the time using the New Testament term, under the cross. He did bear the cross every day under any kind of situation. He didn't complain. He didn't criticize. He didn't condemn. He was just under the cross to suffer the dealing. And we have to believe, in the New Testament term, who can bear such a cross? Philippians 3:10 tells us the strength for us to bear the cross is the power of Christ's resurrection. We do have to learn that we have one, not just resurrection power, but one who is the resurrection. He is our Jonathan, and he is also Michael. He is much, much more greater than Jonathan and Michael, and he is more near to us. Jonathan was somewhat far away from David, and the same with Michael, even though Michael was his wife, but still not in David. But we have a Christ who is in us.
Amen.
Think about it. When you are bearing the cross, actually, you are not the one who bear the cross, but Christ. Christ is the one who bears your cross within you. When Noah and his folks were in the ark, who bear the burden? Noah or the ark? When you are taking a plane, who bear the weight? You or the plane? Now, we are in Christ, right? On the one hand, Christ is in us, but on the other hand, we are in Christ.
Amen.
There are two ins. Christ is in us, and we are in Christ.
Amen.
How wonderful it is. The plane is very good. It is enterable. We can be in the plane, but the plane cannot enter into us. Yet our Christ, on the one hand, is enterable, and also he is entering into us. We have such a one. You have to realize Jonathan in the Old Testament time was a type of Christ being our provision. Michael was a type of God's provision.
Bob, it seems to me there are three key points here related to bearing the cross. First, of course, is this matter that the Lord Jesus, even from his own words, makes it very clear. He's not just the one that has the power of resurrection. He himself is resurrection. And then secondly, the two ends that he talked about here. Why don't you touch these three points?
Yes, Chris. Even though God is sovereign and he puts us into certain environments, many times are difficult for us to bear. God's intention in doing this is really to terminate us. We can see this in David. He didn't fight back. He didn't complain. He didn't criticize. He didn't oppose Saul. In a sense, he was dead. There was no response, no reaction that a normal fallen human being,
such as us,
we would respond in all the foregoing ways.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
David did not respond. What is this? This is a picture of a person who was crucified, terminated. But how could David bear this kind of trial and respond in the way he did? Well, this brings us to the question, how can we live in the environment that God has arranged for us? Well, David had Michal, his wife, and Jonathan to help him. Who is helping us?
Who are our helpers?
Who's our Michal? Who is our Jonathan? Well, this one who is God's provision for us is just Christ himself. And this Christ, as you pointed out, is the resurrection. He is not only the power of resurrection, he's the resurrection itself. And he is within us. So as we are going through these trying and difficult circumstances that our loving God has arranged for us, we should not attempt to pass through them in our own strength. We should enjoy God's provision, and that is Christ himself as the resurrection and the power of resurrection. Actually, Christ as the life-giving Spirit who indwells us.
Wow.
You know, as before the Lord went to the cross, he told the disciples that the Paraclete, or the Comforter, would come. And we know from John 14, this Comforter is just Christ in resurrection. And this Comforter would be in them.
Wow.
So now we have Christ as the life-giving Spirit within us to enable us, to empower us to bear the cross, to remain on the cross, to be terminated, crucified, so that we can be perfected by God.
So on the one hand, we are in him, which means we are in his death. We're also in his resurrection. But at the same time, he is in us.
Amen.
As the one really bearing the reality of the cross. What a picture. And that brings us to the last segment today. We just want to underscore that to bring this set of eyes to view and interpret and understand these Old Testament stories is not something that we should take lightly or for granted. We had the privilege of having a vessel in our midst for many years that we get to hear each day on these tape recordings, that saw the Old Testament through the New Testament lens of God's economy. And to have this kind of understanding really takes what Paul prayed for the whole church in Ephesians chapter 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him. I feel like that's what is being opened up before us, don't you, Bob, on these Old Testament pictures?
I certainly agree, Chris.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee for our final portion.
Very interesting, all these stories in this book. You have to see with the view of God's economy, with the view of God's sovereignty, with the view of one who has received grace, learning to suffer under the cross, yet to enjoy all the provisions by the process consummate triune God. Eventually, he was not a sufferer. Rather, he was an enjoyer. He enjoyed all the way. Who was a sufferer? Saul. Saul was the loser. David was the gainer. I must testify to you, the more we would be quiet, remaining a kind of a situation under the cross. Apparently, we are the sufferer. We are the loser. Actually, we are the top winner. Learn of these two lessons, God's sovereignty and the lesson of cross with the power of resurrection. So by this you could see in the New Testament we have all the revelations, pure revelations, but we don't have so many illustrations. It is in the history books. The two Samuels are the top of the history books, showing us all these lessons as illustrations of the New Testament revelation. We all have to pray like Paul did. Lord, give to me a spirit of wisdom and of revelation, that I may know you in the full knowledge. In all the stories, I could know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. In all the stories, I could see where is the cross of Christ and what is the power of his resurrection.
Bob, I love this. This is tremendous. You know, I was thinking as he was sharing, you have a verse in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus says, to follow him, we need to pick up our cross and carry it daily. You hear that and you think, okay, what does that mean? To, you know, pick up our cross daily and bear it. Without such a picture like we've had here with David, it is somewhat an abstract concept. And people do a lot of sometimes kind of strange things, I'm sure, trying to fulfill such a commandment. But we need the eyes of our understanding really enlightened and our spirit to be so keen. Then we see a picture like this Old Testament story, and what a difference.
Tremendous, Chris. Actually, to bear the cross is simply to live day by day in the circumstances and the environment which God has prepared for us for our perfecting. And the way to live in that environment is not to exercise our natural strength or our natural wisdom, but as Paul prayed, to be enlightened, to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, to know what God is doing and what his economy is in our circumstances, that God's intention is that we would experience in our environment his provision, which is just Christ himself as the life-giving spirit dwelling in our spirit. If we would focus on the indwelling Christ as God's provision for us, then all of our natural ways of responding to our environment would be terminated. That means we would be crucified in reality.
Right.
And then we would be ushered into the resurrection of Christ in reality. And this would cause us to rejoice, as Paul did, in all our sufferings. Genuinely, instead of complaining, criticizing, fighting up against the environment or those in the environment, we would rejoice, give praise to God, because we're enjoying Christ as God's provision for us to pass through any kind of circumstance. And we are the top winners. We are the gainers. We're not the losers.
Yeah, it's clear in this story, isn't it? Who was the winner, who was the gainer, and who was the loser between Saul and David?
That's right.
Witness Lee pointed out on our program that, you know, you read the Psalms, and obviously David was suffering, and there was distress and turmoil and some degree of anxiety. Yet, the realization, the way he conducted himself, the way he bore himself through all of this without complaining, without lifting a finger to defend or avenge himself, really an indication he was in another realm. And that is the realm presented before us when we enter into the one who is resurrection.
Marvelous.
Great fellowship today, Bob. Thank you for your help.
I enjoyed it very much, Chris.
Well, the illustrations, the pictures will continue as we go further in this life study of 1 Samuel. We hope you'll join us for as many of these programs as possible. If you'd like to get the printed life studies, it's a one-volume edition with both 1 and 2 Samuel. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. If you'd like to read the works of Witness Lee and Watchman Nee, just visit our website, ministrybooks.org. From there, you'll find over 600 complete titles available to read online free of charge. Witness Lee's ministry stood squarely on the shoulders of his mentor and co-worker, Watchman Nee, as well as those of countless ministers of the New Testament throughout the ages. The riches contained in his life study of the Bible represent the top, the cream of his 70-plus years of ministry, and range in topic from lessons for new believers to commentary and exposition on passages from every book of the Bible. But they all contain practical and deeper truths about the Christian life. Again, this wonderful online resource is available to you free of charge at ministrybooks.org. If you have questions or comments about this ministry or the program you heard today, email us radio@lsm.org or call us toll-free 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Thanks for listening today.